Russ told me that. Don't be shy of it, you have to go to be proficient in, and you go to Prabha, make it for Rabbanos, what are you doing as a mistake in Sefer Torah? Any other shy that somebody asks, you can always say, I can back to you. You have to take a look at the Sefer, call somebody else up, look after the Shabbos. If you go and interview for a job, and there's a mistake in Sefer Torah, they ask you on the spot, so then if you don't know, you're not going to get the job. So he told me that, I think he had the luck, I think he had it, when it was on a Prabha. They had a shot at Sefer Torah. So I thought we, since we all learned it was Chris Torah, and last week we spoke a little bit about the issues of laning in a plus a Sefer Torah, so I'll try just to go through quickly. Just it's not so quick, it's a long, long sugi, but we'll try to just go through the Rashi Prakim in terms of what the protocol is, in terms of mistakes in the Sefer Torah to come out during laning. Last week we mentioned the Machlekes and Rishonim, whether there's anything even to be concerned at all together. Some Rishonim of the opinion, you're allowed to lane even Machlekes from a plus a Sefer Torah, but we try not to follow that view. But the evidence, maybe we rely on that view. We try like a chila not to follow that view. In deference to the fact that some Mishnah would say that Apostle Sefer Torah is acceptable for Kriyas Torah, it's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes from all the Gedolei Acharonim that were very weary to put away a Sefer Torah in the middle of laning. It seems like a bizoyan to a Sefer Torah to put it away. And the only time we will stop laning and put it away, again, another one, is only if it's something that's outright possible, something that's possible b'chol hadeis. Anything that's a machlokes, shaila, question, so then we'll we'll say maybe the Sefer Torah is kosher the way it is, and even if it's possible, maybe it's delay for a possible Sefer Torah. The Mishnah Berurah has to give you a couple of Rashi Prakim as to what's considered to be a vada psul, what's considered to be a sub psul, so I'll try to just cover what I think some of the most common types of shailas are. So you need a little bit of a background just to understand the Bukhas Sefer Torah Tulum Zuzuz, those who learned last year, Mishnah Berurah Chalik Aleph. I'm sure they remember every single detail from the Sittim on the Bays. No question about that. So we'll try to streamline a little bit that very, very, very long, complicated Sittim. The Gemara tells us in Masech Shabbos that based on the Pasuk Chasaf Tama, this is Masech Yisharech, Ksiva Tama, and one of the halachas that govern the writing of Sefer Torah Tulum Mezuzahs is that each letter has to be discernible, each letter has to be legible as the letter that it is, and you can't write it in a way that resembles other letters. And if, let's say, you have a Vav, and you write a Vav very, very short, so then it's going to look to someone like a Yud, or if you have a Zayin, and you made it a little bit too long, it's going to look like to someone like a Nun Sofit. So that's the one basic din that governs all of the Sefer Torah from Mezuzah, is Achas L'Chaver Torah. So if you would have a letter in the Sefer Torah that Mamash looks like another letter, Mr. Sofit, Mamash Boof wrote a very, very long Yud, and it's possible to chaladeh, that's possible in Torah, and then we would have to put the Sefer Torah away. In Tefillin Mezuzah, there would be a possible in Torah. What if you're not sure whether it's Yidin or Isachas Lechavetov? So that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, that Chazal devised the test, that if you ask a little child to read it, so a little child just learned how to read, but not so smart. So if he takes a look at it and he thinks that it's the right letter, then you can rely on that. That's considered to be the Shiur. That's considered to be good enough to be marshaled the Sefer Torah. Tosfos points out, Maseches Menachos, that even though the Gemara only has that test by Tefillin, so Tosfos points out that the test applies by Get also. It's writing a Get, and it's unclear whether a certain letter is correct, so Tosfos writes, you should bring in a little child also to read it again. When I was a little boy, so there was a rabbi who lived across the street from my house, so one night, maybe 6, 7 years old, so he called up my parents' house, and he wanted to know whether I was available for a few minutes. My mother said, okay. So she said, the rabbi needs you. So I remember she, I think she maybe put on a Shabbos shirt. I didn't think she knew why he needed me. I remember I came there, and I didn't understand at the time exactly what was going on, but then I realized later that they were writing a get. And there was some kind of a question about a letter, and they needed somebody to look at the get. So I looked at the get. I must have given the right answer, because I think everybody smiled. They gave me a get, and they must have helped them out. So it was Mark, we get at the age, right old age of 6 years old. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So when you have a shalom, say, we tell you whether the length of a letter, whether the letter looks like another letter, so then the test is, you try to find a katan to read it. What if you have other things that are wrong with the letter? Not necessarily that it looks like another letter, but it's just missing a chunk of the letter, the part of the letter missing. So here it gets a little bit tricky. It depends on what's considered to be an integral part of the letter. So the Gemara says in the Sechus Benachos that if you write a yud, and you write the whole letter yud, but you're missing what's called the kutzah shel yud, that's considered to be possible in the Torah. The whole Tefillin HaMezuzahs are possible in the Torah. What exactly is the Kutzah Shel Yud? So there's a Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi holds that the Kutzah Shel Yud is the and Rashi says Kutzah Shel Yud is what we would call the leg of the Yud. It means the yud is basically like a square almost, and then on the right side comes down a little, little diagonal almost. So Rashi learns that's the kutsha yud. And that's what the Gemara meant when it's saying that it's missing that, so it's possible in the Torah. So Ibn Tam says, that's not called the kutsha yud, that's called the yud itself. Without that, it's just a blob of ink. So Ibn Tam says, what the Gemara means is the little shmichik, it's so small, you may not even see it. On the left side of the yud, it's supposed to be a little bit of a mashu going down, a little two-by-nothing thing dipping down. So Ibn Tam says, that's the kutsha yud. So that's missing in the yud, the old form of possible. Wow, that's quite a humra Ibn Tam. So when it comes to Chasefer Torah, so we wouldn't put away a Sefer Torah. But that's one of the Zuzas we would like there to be Kutsa Shayud, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. We're not going to put away 12 of the Zuzas that's missing Kutsa Shayud, because it's missing Rabbeinu Tam's Kutsa Shayud, because we assume that's Machlekes. That would be an example. Machlekes would be showing him whether the letter is kosher the way it is, and fake, it would be Machshir to let you continue reading the Sefer Torah. Let's say you have a letter that's missing Tagin, where it says that you're supposed to write Tagin on certain letters, the letters of Shatnas Getz, Shinayim, Tess. Then Zion Gimel Tzadik is supposed to have three little Zions coming out on top of them. But what if you didn't write Tagin? So it's a machlek is a poskim and a chus tefillin. Whether did you have a Tagin or ma'akev? So once again, if you would have a shal and sefer Torah, you would notice that so forgot to write Tagin, you wouldn't put away a sefer Torah for that. So some Rishonim hold that the sefer Torah is kosher the way it is. So the tzir of that, and the tzir of the fact that some Rishonim say you can lay for a poskim sefer Torah, that would also be acceptable. So you really have to know the chistus osius properly. That would be the cloud that you're working with. So anything, again, anything that's outright possible chaladeus, involved with sefer yud, you know, something like that. So that's outright possible chaladeus. You have to put it away. If it's something that's questionable, then you wouldn't have to put it away. There is a big machlokes in the poskim about the very common shaila. What if you have a letter that's split in the middle? Let's say you have a vav, and the vav is scratched away a little bit over time. Ink starts to fade. So part of the vav is scratched away. So it depends how bad the scratch is. If the scratch is really, really big, and you have a big, big break between the top of the vav and the bottom of the vav, so one could look at it and may think that it's a yud. So that's for sure no good. That's tidba os l'chavet, and that's m'chsafta, m'ksiv etavet. That's a problem in a Torah. But what if it's such a very, very small break? You can barely, if you don't look at it carefully, you won't even notice it. But if you have a good bakari, or not such a good bakari, bakari likes to cause you a lot of aggravation. So if you have, it's a big bakari. If you see a little bit of a mashu of a split in the letter, but it doesn't really affect the kriya. If you read it, looks like above, the child would read it like above, but the mice, you know that it's split in half. So that's about like this rishonim. There are many rishonim who hold, and that's possible. I mean, one of the klomos is that a letter has to be what's called chaticha achas. It has to be chativa achas. It has to be one unit. The Gemara says in Masechet Menachos that hay and a kuf are not written as one unit. There's a break between the little leg and the left side of the hay. But there's a break between the left line that goes down the side of the kuf and the rest of the letter. The Gemara says when you write Sefer Torah to a mezuzah, you have to be careful that the hay shouldn't be connected atop that is mamshaches, but the kuf shouldn't be connected atop the right letter. But some Rishonim said, from the fact that the Gemara says that these letters are separate, that implies that all other letters are chaticha achas. It has to be mamsh one unit. And there's any break in between the letter itself, so the whole letter is not stur fiyacha, the whole thing is puzzle. And there are other Rishonim say, lo hayin tvar miyadam. The Erie quotes an opinion that says, it just means that the right way to write a hay and a kuf is this way, and the other letters, normally you wouldn't have a break in the middle. You have a break, so it depends. If it looks like another letter because of the break, then it's puzzle anyway. But if it doesn't look like another letter, and it just has a break in it, so then the diyeb, but we're not going to possible it. So what about an Ilchus Sefer Torah in terms of Gris and Torah? So we would treat this as a sfeik in the din also. We would say that if such a thing happens, which can fairly often does happen in the oldest Sefer Torah, so as long as it clearly looks like the same letter, it's just a question of a little bit of a scratch out of the ink, so the diyeb, we would let you continue on. It was a nice joy that I used to go to California, but from California, so we used to go there for the summers. So one summer, I was in California, so I was davening at one of the shuls there, and folk in the middle of Gris HaTorah, so the Bakari stopped, and called the rabbi over to take a look, and the rabbi called me over and asked for a second opinion, what I thought about it. So it was this shot, it was a crack in the letter, it was clearly a crack, but on the other hand, it didn't really impact on the reading of the letter. So I told him it's okay. So, but the Yevid, you can go and continue. They quote from Rabbi Moshe and from Rabbi Yaakov, both from Mechariah, that it's okay. But since some Rishonim hold it's okay the way it is, so but the Yevid, we could learn those Rishonim continue to learn. If the Shabbos is trying to fix it.
This is a horizontal crack?
Yeah. Yeah, like you have a vav, and then there's like some of the ink fades away. So it's not a Chassidish Rebbe, nice little story, but that same Shabbos, so at the time, that summer of Lebowski, Lubavsky was my summer rabbi. I was the rabbi in Paramus at the time, so he was covering for me that that summer. So after Shabbos was over, so I spoke to him. After my Shabbos went, he said everything was fine, everything went smooth, except there was a problem with the Sefer Torah. What was wrong with the Sefer Torah? He said there was a crack in the middle of a letter, and Shiloh was, whether she could stop playing and take another Sefer Torah, just continue. So he asked him, so what did you paskin? So he said, paskin like a bunch of yeah. He said to continue to go. So I thought that was very eerie. It was very spooky. I was 3,000 miles away, and I had the same Shiloh that he had in my shul. If it would have been on the same letter, that would have been blown away, but it wasn't. That was too much for even for a litvak. But that was wasn't anyway. Good. So the Shiloh is that once in a while. Another common Shiloh that happens is what if you're leaning and you see there are two letters that are touching one another. So when letters are touching one another, that's a big problem. That's what the Gemara says in Menachas. That's what's called Mukov Gavil. The Mishnah says in Maseches Menachas, the third paragraph, that when you're writing Tefillin Mezuzos, so a filu chos osachas, the whole thing is possible. Even if it's missing one letter, it's possible. So Gemara says chos osachas pshim, because it's possible. It's missing a letter. So it's not Tefillin, it's not Mezuzos. Gemara says no, the chiddush is even of all the letters that they have, but the letters are not Mukov Gavil. Letters are present, but they're not touching one another. Actually, they're not separate, distinct from one another. They're actually touching one another. So that's also considered to be possible. That's what's called the enum of gavil. It's not something gavil, it's cloth. Each letter of pidin has to be surrounded completely by cloth. How does Chazal know that? So the Gemara never explains what the mokum that is. So Tosfos writes that he thinks the mokum is from muchsavta. It has to be ksivatama. The Gemara says that we derive from ksivatama that each letter has to appear to be that letter. It can't resemble another letter. So Tosfos thinks that that's the same reason why one mokvil is necessary. It has to be a ksiva tamam. So Tosfos then writes, you see from here that the fact that two letters can't touch is required by the halacha. It's not a definition of ksiva. It's called kosiv, even if letters are touching. But it's not called ksiva tamam. And ksiva tamam is a subject to a higher standard of ksiva tamam. Might not mean that it's called kosiv, not called ksiva tamam. So Tosfos writes, chapsin af minuch is getin. So Tosfos writes, if you have a get and two letters are touching and a get, then it's okay. Get is still kosher. Because when it comes to a get, there's no dinner ksiva tam. It's just chosel and sefer krisa. So the kaisa, I wrote the kaisa, I did a ksiva. So that would be good enough. And the sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos, it has to be a high standard. It's not enough to be ksiva, it has to be a ksiva tam. So not all the Rishonim agree with that text. There's some Rishonim will say that letters are not allowed to touch on a get. I mean, because we try to avoid, if at all possible, letters touching on a get. Also, the text results that technically speaking, letters touching on a get are kosher, but in the sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos, they would be possible. So what it didn't be if you find two letters touching on in a sefer Torah in the middle of krisa Torah. That's a big problem, because if you find two letters that are touching, so it's possible holiday. It's possible holiday, so you have to put it away. So there is a Chumash Rashba. There's a very, very big Chiddush. The Rashba says that b'medu b'mamurim, that if two letters are touching, that they pass on one another, that's a situation where it would be impossible to be goyer. It would be impossible to erase between the two letters. Why that should not be so ready beyond right now. But even though it's aligned with the touch, is very, very small. And in theory, you could just go ahead and take a razor blade and just scratch out between the two. So then the Rashba says, so then the Mikra did its kosher even the way it is. Because Galomit Likra Kagoradam, he said, it's so easy to just scratch away. So then even though right now I don't have a razor blade with me, I don't have more chavas, and I can't, for technical, external halakhic reasons, I can't scratch it away. But since in theory it would be so easy to take a second to scratch between the little letters and separate them, so but the evidence kosher even the way it is. The Mishnah Berurah Nuchos Krisa Torah quotes that Rashba. There's a lot of people about that Rashba. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and we have two letters that are touching, and they're touching very, very, very delicate, very, very small a touch that doesn't impact on the reading. They look, both letters look intact. So the Mishnah Berurah says, all right, maybe with the Abba that would be okay. Maybe we can rely on the Rashba a little bit. That's considered to be also a sniff lachal. That's a big question. What the Rashba meant exactly, that's a big machalik that's supposed to be about that. But the Mishnah Berurah, Achol Panim is Megel, the Negiah between the two letters is very, very minuscule, that would be okay. But let's say you find that on a Monday or Thursday, then you can fix it. On a Shabbos, you can't do that. On Shabbos, you would erase the letters, and it's machalik. But on a Monday or Thursday, so maybe the more correct thing to do would be to take out a razor blade, take out something, take out a scissor, and to scratch out between the letters. Maybe that would be a better razor. That's a big question. There's a big machlek yisur mishav. There's a little bit that's gittin in second paragraph. May remember, the Gemara says when you write a get, so you have to write it v'chosav alo v'chokach. You can't carve out a get. Let's say you would drop a big blob of ink on a piece of paper, and you would say, oh, I have to write a get. So instead of wasting more ink, I'll just etch away. I'll just scratch away. I'll erase away some of the ink around the letters, and then I'll end up. If I erase it in a certain way, I'll have a base. Erase another, I'll have a resh. I'll have an alpha, a yud. You can theoretically form the letters by just erasing the extra ink. The Gemara says that's possible in the Torah. That's what's called mechak teiches. The kasa below mechacha. When you form a letter, you have to form it. You have to form it directly. You can't form a letter indirectly by scratching around, by removing the background to form a letter. So even though the Gemara never has the din of mechak teiches, you see the Torah tells us, the Rishonim will assume that it extends. Yet the standards of Sefer Torah Tumas is higher than the standards of Get. So when it comes to a Get, there's a Psul of the Chakak, by Sefer Torah Tumas there's also a Psul of the Chakak. So there is a big Machlekes HaRishonim. Let's say I have two letters that were written, and each letter was written properly. I wrote a letter with ink, and I wrote the other letter with ink. The right thing is that somebody ink is touching one another. So whatever, I just want to remove the ink that's touching between the two letters, is that called Chak Teiches in half? So some Rishonim say, yeah, that's called Chak Teiches. Since the Torah says the way the letters are is puzzle, so if you're going to go ahead and separate them, so you form the kashas, you amakshah the letters through removing something by scratching away ink, so that's absurd. There is a chak teiches. And other Shem say, nah, that's not chak teiches. Chak teiches means when you form the etzem ha-letter through chak teiches. If you have a blob of ink, and then I scratch around it to form a little, what's left is a little yud, that's chak teiches. But if I have a beis and a yud, they're next to each other, and they have to be touching a little bit, each letter is independently kosher, it's just that the combination of the two touching is a problem. Just removing between the two point that point of nagia is not considered to be chak teiches. So that's a big question to be shown. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Lamed Beis and Ochas Tefillin is making on the shaila. He writes that as long as the letter was formed already, each letter is separate and distinct. It just happens to be touching a little bit, so then it's okay. You can just scratch away between the two letters. That's not a problem of chak teiches. So the Mishnah Berura and the Bir Halacha on that statement of Shulchan Aruch quotes some Achareinim will say that maybe we should only rely on that kula by Tefillin Mezuzos. Because by Tefillin Mezuzos, if you don't rely on the Kula, what would we insist that you have to do? If we don't let you just scratch away, we would insist that you erase the whole letter and start over again. But by Tefillin Mezuzos, you can't do that, because that would be Shalek Yisidra. Tefillin Mezuzos, that would have to be written in order. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Acharonim that if you're going to tell a guy not to rely on the Mekilim, by Tefillin Mezuzos, you have to throw the whole Pashas into the Sheamus. So Mikra didn't rely on the Mekilim. But by Sefer Torah, the Mishnah Berurah says, Sefer Torah have another option. There's no Pesul Shalek Yisidra. So why should we let you just erase between the points that are touching and rely on the Mekilim, just erase the whole letter and write it over again and show Shalom Yisrael? Then the same topic Kashul Chaladeus. So the Mishavu writes, he thinks it would be a better idea, even a Mikra didn't Shulchan Aruch is Mekah. So even by Tol Mezuz, the Maisa would make a Mikra didn't. But if you have a chance, by Sefer Torah, it would be better to erase the whole letter and start over again. So years ago, on one of the Tiyuv, that's his way, call up somewhere. We were staying over in some place in the middle of nowhere, and it was a Monday morning Kriyas HaTorah, and they took out the Sefer Torah, there were two letters that were touching each other. So they asked me what to do at the time. So I said, you know, I'm not a sofer, I wouldn't risk erasing the letter, I wouldn't even know how to begin to rewrite the letter over again, but I could figure out how to erase. It's not that complicated. You just take get a sharp instrument or something and just give a little, this is barely touching. So I thought that this is a Shas HaChak, here we can remake it. Why? If I'm not going to fix this, it's not going to be fixed. We won't be up the lane. And this is in the middle of nowhere, so we're not going to go find a sofer to come here. So we're leaving the hotel anyway, so no one's ever going to fix this in the Torah. So I figured here we could rely on the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says that, like the Ikra, like most of the Rishonim, that you just take a little scissor and just race between the two letters and shit. So it's the Sefer Torah sitting in somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Eretz Yisrael, that's kosher according to the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah didn't like it, l'chatchila. Yeah, it'll be okay. L'chatchila, the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't like it. I didn't feel so bad because it was Taka Sfadi sitting there also. So the Sfadi followed the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is up at Kash L'Chadchila. So it was okay. So now I used my great expertise in Uchasafos, which is very little, to scratch away a little bit at that So that was what happens if and when you find something that really hit the jackpot, you find something that's really puzzled. Something that's mamish is a letter missing, there's a woman, there's something, and the letter's disaster, and the ink faded like I'm in. It's mamish puzzled in a Torah L'Chaladei is. So what do you do? So we mentioned last week that according to some Rishonim, just keep on going, and the other Rishonim, you have to stop. So we possibly that you have to stop. The question is, what do you mean you have to stop? And what do the words mean that you have to stop? So we mentioned last week that those who really truly hold that you're not yet to Kriyas HaTorah, the Pesul Sefer Torah, would insist that you start all over again. You go back to the parasha, the beginning of the parasha, and lay another seven aliyahs on Shabbos all over again. So that for most of us don't do. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from his Rebbe, we said last week in the Ma'ariv Rav, who says that b'diyevet, whatever you learned already, you're yet saying, and from here on in, you take out a question for the Torah. So what exactly does that mean from here on in? What's the proper protocol to do at this point? So there are a few different opinions in the Poskim. What's the best option at this point? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that, following his Rebbe Rav, who says that whatever was, and it will be, so whatever was, finish. Rebbe Lane up until this point. Now all of a sudden we get to the word Vaidabra, we see it's missing Yud. So it's possible to finish. It's possible to Torah. So you have to stop. You can't continue the lane. You have no right to continue the lane in the Pasuk of Torah. Whatever we did, we had to say and finish. So we have to stop right then in that track. Stop the Aliyah right then and there. What do you do when you end an Aliyah? Usually you make a bracha when you end an Aliyah. How can you make a bracha? Yes, if it's possible. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. You can't make it, and you can't make a bracha. You have to stop laning. You have to wrap it up, Sefer Torah away. Take out another Sefer Torah, and continue laning in the Kosh Sefer Torah. When you get to the end of the Aliyah, then you make a bracha. At the end of the Aliyah, so at least you made a bracha on the Kosh Sefer Torah. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So there are others who disagree with that. So the Mordechai says, no. The Mordechai says that we don't want to stop dead in the tracks. It's just like that. We want to end off the Aliyah. What was, and a little bit will be also was. I mean, as long as we can, we'll try to hurry things up, move things to the end of the Aliyah in the Apostle Sefer Torah, and then we'll take it from there. So what would that mean practically? The Mordechai says it's going to depend on where you are. So the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, the third parak, that when you lay, you have to at least lay in three psukim. So you can't have an Aliyah less than three psukim. So if you started to lay one psukim, then you see there's a mistake on Sefer Torah, you can't just stop dead in your tracks. You have to go another two psukim. Well, let's say a person finds the mistake and they're within three psukim from a psukha, from a stuma. So the Gemara says you're not supposed to stop at that point either. So the Mordechai says if you find yourself in a position where you're able to stop, you read three psukim and you're not within three psukim of a psukha, stuma, so stop and finish and shun. And what should you do in your end? You can make a bracha, says the Mordechai. It's all right. And make a bracha. It's on the pulse of the garden. It's also okay. You're laying already. You can make a bracha. And then you put it away after the bracha and you take out a new sefer Torah. What if you find yourself in a position where you can't stop, either because you haven't laid through psukim or you're too close to a psukim and a stuma? So the Mordechai says, so that you're mamish in a pickle. So you can't stop and just stop like that. So what do you have to do? So the Mordechai says that just continue laying. Just continue going until you reach a point where you're able to stop.
What if you got to a stuma that's within one or two psukim of another stuma?
That's okay.
That's a good stuff.
So the Mordechai says that, so you go a couple of psukim in with the positive Torah also. You're reading a word that doesn't exist, and the whole word is missing. Whatever it is, and you move on and finish. So the Rama quotes the Mordechai halfway. So the Rama writes that we accept the Mordechai partially. What does that mean? So the Rama writes that if you're at a point where you're able to stop, so the Taka should stop. The Taka makes sense to stop. Stop right then and there. And make a bracha. The Rama is okay with making a bracha on the Pasuk Sefer Torah. Unlike the Shulchan Aruch, who says you can't make a bracha on the Pasuk Sefer Torah, the Rama says, that's alright. As long as you started laying, you're Yotze laying, you're with the Yevid, you're Yotze, Maribe Rab, most some of the Rishonim, you're Yotze ready, you can make a bracha right then and there. But if you can't stop, so then the Rama didn't like that idea of continuing laying on in the Pasuk Sefer Torah. So the Rama said, and the better thing to do, if you can't stop, so then just stop with the Sefer Torah and bring in a new Sefer Torah. Continue laning with the new Sefer Torah without making a bracha to end the previous Aliyah. So the Rama met the Mordechai almost halfway. He says that, I accept the idea that you can make a bracha on Apostle Sefer Torah if you're already laying, that's okay. Whereas the Mordechai said that just keep on going until the appropriate place to stop. The Rama says, no, if you happen to find yourself in an inappropriate place to stop, so then stop with that Sefer Torah, don't make a bracha, bring out a new one and continue on. Mishnah Berurah writes that unless there's a minhag mokom and any other, to the contrary, thinks we should follow the Zechor of the Rama. I don't know what the Sfarim, I imagine, is followed straight in Shulchan Aruch. But Mishnah Berurah writes that he thinks that unless there's a real clear minhag to the contrary, you should follow the Rama. So the bottom line is, what it means is, 99% of the time this doesn't happen. Most of the time, we'll find somebody who says if there's kosher the way it is. But lo yitzu, that's the mamash posel l'chaladeus, so then this is the way the Mishnah Berurah recommends, to follow the Rama Zechor. And if you're able to stop at that point, you stop there, make a bracha, join. If you're not able to stop there, and you stop laning, don't make a bracha, take out the Sefer Torah, a new Sefer Torah, continue to go on. What if there is no other Sefer Torah around? What if you're in a Shabbaton, where you have this one Sefer Torah? This shall happens fairly often. So then what do you do? So the Rama quotes two opinions. If a person's mamish in a place where there's no kosher Sefer Torah, can we rely on the other Rishon L'chadchila? Normally we don't like playing with the Apostle Sefer Torah. If there's mamish no option, can we do that? So Rama quotes two opinions about this. So Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks that you really shouldn't take it out the lane. If you know that there's mamish psul in Sefer Torah, don't take it out the lane. But he says, if you already started the lane, and now you found a mistake, and now you realize there's no other Sefer Torah around, so And they just keep on going. So that's a desire to stop lading from the middle, to stop dead in the tracks, and stop lading from the finish. So that you're not going to do. So again, lechatchila, we try to avoid taking out the post Sefer Torah. If it's already out and there's no other choice, there's no other Sefer Torah around, we'll continue lading. There are more quotes, another compromise from Sefer Shainim, that let's say the Sefer that you're leaning in out of the Chamisha Chumash Torah is intact, and it takes it another Sefer. So there are more quotes, Sefer Shainim, who are willing to split it. Say, let's say, we just finished Sefer Dvar, Sefer Brachos, and we leaned Parshas Vayechi and Shacharis, and then we realized that at the very end of Vayechi, really Gevalt, there's a word missing. So now we want to lean Minch, we want to take out there's no other Sefer Torah around. So we want to take out that possible Sefer Torah and lean it for Parshas Shmos. So the Ramah quotes Sefer Shmos and said, that's okay. As long as the mistake is in a different Sefer, so then that's less of a problem for some reason. So that's a whole different Sefer. Why that should be so? But the Maestro, there are more quotes that, so that already, some posts are willing to make a lot. So if you happen to luck out that the mistake was in the previous Sefer, then it would be okay. But otherwise, if you know for a fact that the Sefer Torah is possible, so it's better not to take it out altogether, not to lay. But again, this is all assuming it's really outright the possible. It's one of these shaky, questionable psulim. It's the B'diyev, and we're going to mash it all the time. All right. Where you guys up to, by the way? You passed on the Sefer Torah, you know what that means?
Don't have.
Yes,
can't cook anymore.
When does the Tilsi Dime start? How long is that?